Respected Sheikh Saleem, Sheikh Khalil, elders, brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I'm honored and privileged to be here in front of you today, rubbing shoulders with scholars who I look up to. And I'd have to complain, because the topic that I am addressing deals with unity, deals with prejudice, deals with identity, and Sheikh Saleem and Sheikh Khalil have already started eating from that pie before me. So I'll do my best, inshallah. And also, I'd like to apologize for my shortcomings today and tomorrow. As I stated yesterday, I am neither very knowledgeable nor am I eloquent as an orator, but I am a participant here, and I would have come here anyways. And inshallah, you'll see me as yourselves, a seeker of knowledge, looking for ways of improving myself as well. And having said that, I'd also appreciate if my respected scholars would correct me should I take a wrong turn anywhere, and help me, inshallah, tomorrow, or should anyone have any questions. And finally, I'd also like to seek the pardon from the audience who have to pardon me because I'll be sticking to a script in order to focus my thought and also convey my thoughts, inshallah. Now, before I begin, I'd like to spend a little bit of time, and inshallah, this won't be counted towards my account, in promoting and advertising an organization. And inshallah, the organizers will not mind me doing so. And the organization that I like to promote is none other than the team of sponsors who have put this remarkable event together. Dearest brothers and sisters, I have a special affinity to all of them. For the past several years, I've been active in the student and youth movement, and so I can tell you firsthand the amount of drive, the amount of passion, the amount of dedication, and the amount of sacrifice that it takes to organize something like this. So speaking of fibers and dates and whatnot, from every fiber of my being, I'd like to thank them and encourage them. And I hope that you too, in your own way and in your own capacity, can also do so. Brothers and sisters, one of the signs of the reappearance of the global hope, ajallahu ta'ala faraja, is that the sun will rise from the west. And dear brothers and sisters, I'm beginning to see its rays. Because brothers and sisters, the youth of today are committed to an Islamic identity, although Islamic culture is not prevalent in this society. And the students of today are embarking upon an education, and inshallah they'll aspire towards specializing and contributing to the well-being of the Muslim community, but also to serve as ambassadors to the wider society and the global community. And so let me, before I begin, give a little bit of an investment advice to my elders, because I know that they're very much into the stock market. If you want to get the greatest amount of returns, then invest in a stock that has the greatest potential for growth, the youths and the students of today, brothers and sisters. And now the time hopefully can begin. I begin properly. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين أما بعد فقد قال الله في كتاب المجيد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم واعتصموا بحبل الله جميعا ولا تفرقوا واذكروا نعمة الله عليكم إذ كنتم أعداء فألف بين قلوبكم فأصبحتم بنعمته إخوانا وكنتم على شفا حفرة وكنتم على شفا حفرة من النار فانقذكم منها كذلك يبين الله لكم آياته لعلكم تتقون. I begin by the name of Allah, most compassionate, most merciful. All praise and blessings be upon the chief of the prophets and the messengers, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, as well as his Ahlul Bayt, the pure. I began, brothers and sisters, with the slogan of unity in the Quran, in chapter Ali Imran, verse 103, and hold fast by the covenant of Allah altogether and be not disunited. And remember the favor of Allah on you when you were enemies, then He united your hearts, so by His favor you became brethren, and you were on the brink of a pit of fire, then He saved you from it. Thus does Allah make clear to you His communications, that you may follow the right way. Dearest brothers and sisters, the topic for this session is called Avoiding Sectarian Discord. And Sheikh Khalil had touched on asabiyya within the Shia community, and today I'll be touching on asabiyya within the Muslim community. And this topic is particularly relevant in light of the tragic Samarra bombings of Al-Azkariyyin shrines on February 22nd, 2006. I don't want to dwell on the agents of disunity or the results of disunity. I fear that this will only aggravate me and aggravate you. But a short story would suffice in illustrating this. And this might, you may have heard of this story before, and if those of you who have, it will serve as a reminder. The story is of the lion and three bulls. Three bulls for a long time pastured together. A lion lay waiting in ambush in the hopes of attacking them, but he lacked the courage to do so when they were together. So in his cunningness, he devised a strategy. He first approached the white bull and the red bull, and he spread rumors amongst them, dividing them from the black bull. He then attacked the black bull, killed it, while the other two were silent. And he continued on with this strategy by approaching the white bull. And he again started inciting rumors against the red bull. And having sown these seeds of discord, he attacked the red bull, killed it, while the white bull was indifferent. And then, having realized too late that the white bull was all alone, when the lion was ready to pounce, he told the lion that you had killed me when you had killed the black bull. I hope, dear brothers and sisters, that the lesson of the story passes on to you. What I'll be discussing today, inshallah, are the practical steps towards achieving unity and avoiding sectarian discord. And I'll be using PowerPoint slides so you can follow with me as I illustrate these steps with verses, a hadith, and quotations. Now, the first step, or the first act that you can take towards avoiding sectarian discord is to realize what is unity. In order for us to achieve unity, we need to understand that what is required of unity. It is important to recognize, as Sheikh Saleem illustrated yesterday, that unity does not necessitate uniformity. It is possible to achieve unity through diversity, and Sheikh Khalil had also mentioned that in a conversation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says, if Allah had so willed, He would have made them a single people. And in what we now consider as a slogan of diversity, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Hujurat, O mankind, surely we have created you of a male and a female and made you tribes and families that you may know each other. So we find, dear brothers and sisters, implicitly in these verses, that Unity does not require uniformity. Unity can be achieved through diversity. Now, another act that one can take towards achieving unity is the unity of expression. So, if unity does not require uniformity, then, you know, what is required of unity? And what is required of unity is a unity of expression. Brothers and sisters, in the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah As-Saff, "Surely Allah loves those who fight in His way in ranks as if they were firm and a compact wall." Now, another act that one can take towards achieving unity and avoiding sectarian discord is to go beyond polemics and emphasizing what is common. Oftentimes, Sunnis and Shias don't talk with one another, they argue. That is, they don't engage in a dialogue, but really back and forth monologues. The discussion is often polemic, and that is, they are engaged or inclined towards controversy and refutation. And what happens is that parties begin to become defensive and raise fences. Dear brothers and sisters, we need to destroy these fences. And in destroying them, we need to look at the common pasture. Now, unity needs to be based on primary, pivotal, and essential issues. Issues that no two Muslims can quarrel upon. And that is, for instance, you probably can see it on the screen, the Shahadatain. All Muslims profess that there is no deity save Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His final messenger. We share the belief in the Day of Judgment. We share the same belief in the heavenly scriptures, the Quran being the final and unaltered scripture and revelation. We share the same Qibla. And we also share a lot of religious practices, Salat, Sawm, Zakat, Hajj. Let's take Hajj for example. The ultimate expression of unity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His infinite wisdom had gifted this to us. People of all colors, of all races, of all nationalities, of all languages, of all heights and weights, from the whole political and economic spectrum, people of different class, status, stature, all come together, converge together from different schools of thought, expressing the same one thing, لَبَيْكَ اللَّهُمَّ لَبَيْكَ لَبَيْكَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَكَ لَبَيْكَ. Here I am, my Lord, here I come. Here I come, there's no partner unto You, here I come. This scene has a profound effect. And you may know that this scene has completely transformed the life of an African-American brother by the name of Malcolm X. In his autobiography, and I encourage you to read it, he describes the scene when he first arrived at the airport of Jeddah. He was stuck there, helpless, and notes the comedy of his frustration there. Here he was, an articulate man who had a great ability to communicate with others. And in Jeddah, or in Mecca, on his way to pilgrimage, he couldn't communicate with anyone. But he did make one observation as he lied there awake in the middle of the night with everyone else sleeping. He said, in Mecca, all of humanity snores in the same language. And so with that, I will go on to the next act that one can take towards achieving unity, which is to have a global outlook and seeing the big picture. Brothers and sisters, when you think about it, it is astounding to find disunity amongst Muslims when the Quran encourages a common expression between monotheists. The Quran says in Ali Imran, "O people of the book, come to a word that is just between us and you, that we worship none but Allah, and that we associate no partner with Him, and that none of us will take others as lords beside Allah. Then if they turn away, say, bear witness that we are Muslims." So what we find here is that the basis of unity being simply the affirmation of Tawheed, or the oneness and unity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what then about those who profess that Muhammad is his final messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam? And what about those who read the same Quran? And what about those who pray towards the same Qibla? In fact, dear brothers and sisters, Islam goes further yet by considering the common thread between all of humanity. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, in his sermon of Arafah on his final pilgrimage, he says, "Kullukum min Adam wa Adam min Turab." That is, all of you are from Adam, and Adam is from dust. Imam Ali alayhi salam, in his famous instruction to Malik Ashtar, the governor of Egypt, says, "People are of two kinds. Either they are your brother in religion, or one like you in creation." So, we need to look at the big pictures, brothers and sisters. Now, brothers and sisters, we need to go beyond tahammul, or tolerance, and achieve rahmah, or compassion. Because the Quran teaches us to be tolerant with human beings who have done the greatest offense to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is, they reject Him, that they do not even recognize Him. The Quran says in Surah Al-Kafirun, "A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, qul ya ayyuhal kafirun, la a'budu ma ta'budun, wa la antum a'budun ma a'bud, wa la ana a'budun ma a'budtum, wa la antum a'budun ma a'bud, lakum dinakum wa liya din." Say, O unbelievers, I do not serve what you serve, nor do you serve whom I serve, nor am I going to serve what you serve, nor are you going to serve whom I serve. To you, your way, and to me, mine. So here is tolerance in the Quran. To you, your way, to me, mine. Isn't it interesting that we can attend classes at college or speak with colleagues from work and discuss issues while being able to disagree with them? But the minute that some of us step into a mosque or a Muslim community function, all that tolerance seems to go out the window. Now, if the Quran instructs us to be tolerant towards others, towards those who unbelieve or disbelieve, then what ought our attitude be towards those who profess, those who do believe? The Quran says in Surah Al-Fath, "Muhammad is the apostle of Allah, and those with him are firm of heart against unbelievers, compassionate amongst themselves." So, again, going beyond tahammul into rahmah. And then in another verse, in Surah Al-Ma'idah, "O you who believe, whoever from among you turns back from his religion, then Allah will bring a people. He shall love them, and they shall love him. Lowly before the believers, mighty against the unbelievers." Where is the gentleness, brothers and sisters? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions His compassion and His mercy before He mentions His power and His wrath. Another action that one can take towards achieving unity and avoiding sectarian discord is to let go of religious overzealousness. And I think in the last topic, Sheikh Khalil had touched upon that. My mother, who's in the audience here today, had given me a book about 2 weeks ago called Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. Brothers and sisters, sometimes I find that we do sweat the small stuff. We take a strong position on the most trivial of issues. And unfortunately, the things that we do need to take a strong position on, we are weak. It is as if that the previous verse that I had mentioned has been reversed, where we are strong and mighty against the believers, but weak of heart against the unbelievers. Brothers and sisters, we need to expand our chest a little bit. I'm finding Sirat al-Mustaqim a little bit congested here. I'm not sure if it's a 4-lane highway, a 5-lane highway, an all roads lead to Rome highway, but the actions of some brothers and sisters make me think that it's a my way or the highway. And that isn't a highway at all, it's a bike lane. It can only fit one person. And so, brothers and sisters, we can't be judgmental all the time. There's a verse in the Quran that says, "And obey Allah and His Apostle, and do not quarrel. For then you will be weak in hearts, and your power will depart, and be patient. Surely Allah is with the patient." Now, another act that one can take is to seek to understand before being understood. This is the title of one of the chapters of Stephen Covey's book, The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. One of the biggest barriers between or preventing unity is ignorance and misinformation. There is a correlation between knowledge and tolerance. It is the lack of truly knowing and understanding one another that leads to misconceptions and distortions. The Quran says in Surah Al-Hujurat, "O you who believe, avoid most of suspicion, for surely suspicion in some cases is a sin. And do not spy, nor let some of you backbite others. Does one of you like to eat the flesh of his dead brother? But you abhor it, and be careful of your duty, Allah. Surely Allah is oft returning to mercy, merciful." Brothers and sisters, the Shia and the Sunni need to stop speaking to one another and start speaking with one another. The difference is very subtle. Speaking with one another, or dialogue, allows parties to understand each other better by allowing participants to acquire direct knowledge and beliefs instead of relying on propaganda and stereotypical images. Another benefit of engaging in dialogue or speaking with one another is that it isolates the extremes who are conspicuously absent from that table. Another action that one can take towards achieving unity and avoiding sectarian discord is the concept of adab al-ikhtilaf, or the etiquette of disagreement. Brothers and sisters, disagreement and difference of opinions are natural, and the disagreement between Muslims is unavoidable, not only between schools of thought, but also within a school of thought. We need to apply adab al-ikhtilaf, or the etiquette of disagreement. The Quran says in Surah Al-Hujurat, "O you who believe, let not one people laugh at one another. Perchance they may be better than they. Nor let women laugh at other women. Perchance they may be better than they. And do not find fault with your own people, nor call one another by nicknames. Evil is a bad name after faith. And whoever does not turn, these it is that they are the unjust." There's a distinction between expressing differences of opinion and creating hatred and dissension within the Muslim community. The Quran says in Surah An-Nahl, "Call to the way of your Lord with wisdom and good exhortation, adab al-ikhtilaf, and have disputations with them in the best of manners." Now, the United Nations has launched an initiative called the Alliance of Civilizations, and one of the high-level group members is Desmond Tutu, Archbishop Desmond Tutu from South Africa. And in a recent town hall of Muslim students in Doha, United Arab Emirates, and that town hall was called Tackling Extremism, he made a profound yet simple statement. He said, "My father taught me, don't raise your voice, improve your argument." So, adab al-ikhtilaf. I thought that this... there's a poem that I found on alislam.org by a Sheikh Ali Abu Talib. It is a long poem called "From a Shia Who is a Sunni." And in one stanza, he says, "The school where we learn is different from yours. Is it different enough to cause destructive wars that keep us slapping each other like Curly, Larry, and Mo? Is this the Islam that we want to show?" I thought that this stanza does a good job of capturing the lack of akhlaq that we sometimes see when Sunnis and Shias disagree. It's almost like seeing a comedy of the Three Stooges. Another act that one can take towards avoiding sectarian discord is to break the silence of the silent majority. Brothers and sisters, sometimes the wrong kind of people are speaking on behalf of the Muslims and leading them. Perhaps I'm an optimist, but contrary to some of the present leaders of Muslim mosques, institutions, and even countries, I believe that the majority, the masses, want Sunni Shia unity. And so what we need to do is we need to break the silence of the silent majority. And sometimes to do this, you need to approach the masses directly and curtail the leadership. Especially if the leadership is simply putting roadblocks towards achieving unity. The silent majority must come together in dialogue to defeat the extremists. We need to generate a popular movement that pressures compliance amongst the leadership. And if that leadership is not going to comply, then the masses will seek another leadership. That is what we need to encourage. So sometimes you need to curtail the leadership and approach the masses directly. We can't always wait for high-level dialogues to occur between our Maraja and the rectors of Al-Azhar, Al-Zaytuna, the universities in Syria, and Saudi Arabia. Moreover, the silent majority must act upon principle and speak and stand against injustice, even if they may be within their own party. The Quran is very clear in this respect. The verse from Surah Al-Hujurat says, "And if two parties of the believers quarrel, make peace between them. But if one of them acts wrongfully toward the other, fight that which acts wrongfully until it returns to Allah's command." So here is a proclamation within the Quran that if a party within the believers acts wrongfully, fight them. And I mean fight them as in, you know, oppose them in different senses. Until they return to Allah's command. So it's not a carte blanche. Right? It's not a blank check to fight them. Right? Fight them until they return to Allah's command. Then if it returns, that party, make peace between them with justice and act equitably. Surely Allah loves those who act equitably. Now, another act that one can take towards achieving unity and avoiding sectarian discord is not to be more kingly than the kings themselves. Brothers and sisters, Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam sacrificed everything for the sake of Muslim unity, which was of paramount importance to them. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his sermon of Arafah, on his farewell pilgrimage, stressed the importance of Muslim unity. He says, "O people, hear my words and think over them. Every Muslim is the brother of another Muslim, and all Muslims of the world are brothers of one another." And in all of these cases, I'd like to refer to something that Khalil Bhai mentioned yesterday, that he mentioned about listen carefully to the words of a dying person, let alone a dying imam, because the words that they want to, they're giving their last breaths, and the words that they're conveying is of utmost importance to them. So here is the speech of, apart from Rasulullah's farewell pilgrimage. And then we continue on with some other final words. Now, we all know Imam Ali alayhi salam had sacrificed everything for the sake of unity. I'm sure you know what he has sacrificed for its sake. Imam Ali alayhi salam, in his will to Imam al-Hassan, his first advice, that's how important it is. After calling Imam Hassan to Tawheed, reminding him of Tawheed, is, "I advise you, O Hassan, as well as my sons, family members, and every believer who receives this will." Every believer who receives this will. "To fear Allah, your Lord, and do not die before your Muslim. Cling to the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala altogether, and do not be disunited." Imam Hassan alayhi salam signed a peace treaty.